Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Rich Beam later in the hour on Max Homa. Another win over the weekend. It's Ryder Cup week. Get his take on that. Monday night or tonight, I am on the clock with my pick. And just a little bit here, we'll bring Al's brother in, get his take on Packers-Lions tonight. Jays in action, Robbie Ray back on the mound. You brought this point up earlier. Gerrit Cole getting booed off the mound yesterday, getting lit up. Robbie Ray gets right back into action at the Trop against the Rays.
Could be that moment, man, in the voting for the whole award where it's like such like opposite end of the spectrum scenarios where it's like booed off the mound. If he's dialed in and it's lights out, bunch of strikeouts, and just carves up the Rays, who knows, man?
Big time. It really does feel like that, where you could not close it tonight, but really put a grip on it. If he goes, you know, 7 innings, 8, 10, 12 Ks, keeps the Rays bats, you know, on ice or close to it tonight, picks up a W, and boom, right, you're off and running. The Leafs will be in camp on Wednesday for physicals, on the ice on Thursday. Kristen Shilton posted her her burning questions going into training camp, and this will be happening a lot leading up to Wednesday and especially Thursday on the ice, and they start playing on Saturday. We don't know if fans will be in the stands. They're playing the Habs at Scotiabank, and we don't have any word on that, but it'll be beyond the federal election and beyond the implementation of the vaccine passport, so I wouldn't be surprised if there were fans on Saturday night. But the first question, and I think this is absolutely appropriate and spot on by Kristen, is will Austin Matthews be ready for opening night? You know, he had the surgery. He's, I don't believe, going to be taking part in on-ice activities to start camp. He's not going to be at 100% for day one or even for the first week of camp, which is fine as long as you're at 100% come opening night, right?
Right.
Like, they need him flying on all cylinders. Like, the big four have never been more in focus. The depth below them has, I think, potentially never been weaker. We'll see. You know, that's open to interpretation. We'll see how they all play out. But he's coming off a rocket season, second in the heart. You know, you want to get going again. You want to get going. And
well, it's concerning because you never know. Like, you never know how he's going to react if he has a setback. And I'm sure they're going to be extremely careful. I mean, we all know the medical staff there. They're going to be, you know, they're waiting until he's over 100% to come back and feel good.
And but those guys are freaks, Noodles. Like, me and you would have to take time coming back from an injury. It's just the best of the best. It's like, I remember Pavel Bure getting traded from Vancouver, I think, to Florida. He showed up, didn't play for a couple months, showed up in Long Island, scored a hat. It's like these best of the best, it's just like they put their gear on and they're just better than everybody else. So anybody that thinks that, oh, he might need time to ease in, and training camp is important. Every coach, everybody in the NHL will say that, but they just seem to put their gear on. They're awesome no matter what. That's just what they do.
As long as he's in shape, which you would expect, right?
Like, that's the biggest thing.
He has to be in shape. That's on him. But, I mean, I'll ask you guys, what if he doesn't play any preseason games? Will it matter? Is this going to be like an NFL quarterback? Or
I could tell by his face. I could tell by an athlete's face, a hockey player anyway. And Austin Matthews, I have a pretty good idea what his frame looks like. Couldn't you tell by his face the other day when he was sitting with Mitch Marner that it looks slender, like he looks like he's dialed in?
He looks good. Yeah, he looks like he's in shape, which is a bare minimum for a pro athlete. He's supposed to be in shape. You know, it's not like he gets balloons and pom-poms and a cake for that. But timing, preseason, that's his bread and butter is his wrist, right, and his ability to shoot.
Well, we saw Pastrnak come off of. Pastrnak was, what did he miss? 5 months, different surgery, all that type of stuff. But, like, he
didn't
you know,
miss
he
much.
Came back. No, he didn't miss much. But, that's the thing. You get a lot of focus. Like, he's not going to get any easy nights. Now, Austin Matthews is, you know, like O was saying, he's such an elite player. He'll score. But, you know, he's going to get a lot of focus, and that's the biggest challenge. Teams are going to be trying to chip away at him a little bit. You know, you have a bad wrist. Guys are going to, you know, try and be physical on you, all that type of stuff. And, you know, you miss training camp or miss parts of it, you just feel like you're catching up. He'll be able to catch up because he's just ultra talented. But I don't know. I hate that stuff. Like either holdouts or injuries. I always feel like a guy is trying to play catch up and at least get his timing back. He'll be fine by the regular season, knock on wood for him. But it's a big thing for the Leafs to focus on.
For sure. No, he's such a focal point. And it leads to the second question that Kristen posed, who plays left wing on the top two lines, including with Austin Matthews? You know, I don't know the importance. You'd have to ask Matthews and Marner. I'm assuming they'll still be line mates. How important it is for them to get a lot of reps in practice, a lot of reps in maybe during the preseason with Bunting, Richie, Simmons, whoever it's going to be, Mikheyev. But if Matthews isn't available and isn't playing, that's another thing. Like, how do you find cohesion with whoever's going to be on the left side with him if he's not going to be taking part in drills and he's not playing scrimmages?
I'm not that concerned about that stuff for the left wing. As far as the left wing positions, weren't there times last year where they threw Galchenyuk up there on the left side?
Yeah.
And all he did was wheel up and down the ice, hustled, got the pucks in the corners. And Zach Hyman did an unbelievable job there. He created a lot of offensive cycles. He got to a lot of pucks. And as Babcock said, great players need to play with guys that can get them the puck, blah, blah, blah. And he did that a lot. But right. They plugged in Galchenyuk at times to wheel up and down there and do the job. And they still produced. They were still dialed in. I'm not really that concerned. I think Richie's going to get that opportunity to go up there and try to play for a lot of different things, with just getting his career back on track and being that left-handed shot, being that force out there. And he could really make some hay on that line if he does his job to a T.
Oh.
Like, go out there, bang bodies, be physical, be a pain in the ass. He could be a perfect fit, but he has to bring it every single night and not take stupid penalties.
Well, let's see what Kasha may be a guy that plays his off wing. Like, they've got options. You know, Nick Robertson sounds like he's had a good rookie camp, all of that. He's going to get a good hard look, but they've got to figure out and – you know, I know where you're heading, Brian, as far as, you know, developing chemistry and stuff for somebody new, either into the organization, especially onto your line. But ultimately, the chemistry is between Matthews and Marner. The
right,
third guy on that line is the, you know, he go get the puck, go hard to the net with your stick on the ice. Good things are going to happen. Like, be defensively responsible. Like, that's kind of, they know, the person who's ever on left wing for Matthews and Marner, they're the third most important person on the on that
absolutely
line by far. Right?
But what a lottery ticket that is for whoever could grab it. Like that's
right.
A contract waiting to happen. Where
sure.
if you can find cohesion there, and it may not be with the Leafs, but if you can tuck in 15 goals, 45 points, and look like you have the hockey IQ and the pace to keep up with those two, you're getting paid somewhere. Like not Zach Hyman pay. Because right. I think it would take a lot more than that. But let's say it's Richie. You know, Richie's on a one-year deal. Let's say he tucks in 18 goals, has 48 points, does his roll up and down the ice. Matthews and Marner connect with him. Looks good in the playoffs.
I was going to say, Hayes, I know what you're going to say, but isn't his stats almost irrelevant? It's what the other two guys do?
I don't know if that's the case, though, with GMs throughout the league, though. Like next July, I'm saying, like that, those stats are probably going to pop a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
As a guy who's proven he's capable of playing with great players.
Yeah,
I guess that's what he's trying to prove. Like, no one should be expecting that third person on the line to have 34 goals or, you know, and 75 points. That's not realistic. That's not
right.
going to happen. But if it's more about finding the role, finding the rhythm, doing what they're supposed to, and I think that's a lottery ticket waiting to happen. I think anyone that plays on a line with any player of high caliber, especially two of them, that's a great opportunity.
And it's 5-on-5 play. Don't forget that. Because
yep.
generally that guy's coming off the ice when the power play starts.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
very
true. You are going to get a lot of free looks, though. Like Hyman, if you look at his stats the last couple of years, just based on average, like he was a 60-point guy based on who he was playing with, how hard he worked, and, you know, how he evolved as a, you know, a goal scorer and a point producer. You know, probably expecting that he goes from Matthews and Marner to McDavid and who else.
No reason he should slow down there.
Shouldn't slow down on production. Whoever slides in on the left side with Matthews and Marner has to think, okay, that's what I'm looking at. I could do 22 and 38, you know, that type of stuff because I'm working hard. That's if you can settle in. You don't want to – They can't have that as a rotating spot.
No. Same thing
you
with the second
stability.
Line. Same
yeah.
thing with Tavares and Nylander. It's the exact same conversation. Right. Who, I don't know who that's going to be, because last year it was a combination of Galchenyuk and Foligno. That was just the second half of the season. They had two different guys playing on that side. Kerfoot would get a taste, and maybe Kerfoot still does. You know, Kerfoot is a guy that may move around the line. He may play some left wing. In fact, I expect he will at some point this year, probably multiple times this year. But right. Kerfoot is a guy. Maybe that's what they lean towards, Kerfoot, Tavares, Nylander. But we'll see when camp opens up and when the season opens up. And the third, you know, burning question leading into camp is, how does the goaltending picture shake out? We know it's Campbell and Mrazek, but how many games? I think it's safe to say if they're both healthy throughout camp, regardless of how they look in camp, Campbell starting opening night, I think he should, right? And then after that, you map it out and you see who's hot, who's cold, injuries, how they're feeling, split stats, how they play against certain teams in certain buildings. Like, I think it'll be analytically driven
and
in a lot of ways,
hot.
Too.
If Mrazek gets hot, he'll run with it. It's just, it's literally a tandem, and Noodles knows a lot more about it, how it works.
It will be. Like, neither one of them is a standalone starter. So this is the definition of a tandem. And, you know, you're right. It is going to be analytically driven. It's going to be who's hot. Health is going to play a factor in it, because Jack Campbell, you know, he, as much as a streak he had, he also had some health, you know, concerns as well, where, you know, you got a bad hip or whatever he had going in the lower body, you got to make sure and manage that. So, and success of the team, you know, one of them will push through where you just feel a little bit more confident with one guy than the other in the net. And
I still think it's a risky play, Jamie, for, like, to come out and say, I bet my career on this core, and then give him a tandem to get it done. I don't know. I don't know what other tandems like this have had success where you're like, yeah, it's going to be like that. Like, do you guys have one that you can say it's going to be like that?
Well,
I don't know. I just think of goaltending as being such the alpha dog thing, and I can't get Vasilevsky or a Hellebuck or one of those guys out of my mind, because I don't know what the hell a tandem does as far as getting to the promised land. And to put that on this core that you're betting your career on, I would wonder what they think about it.
It's a good point, but I'll go back somewhat recency. Fleury and Murray in Pittsburgh. Now, that was a tandem where Fleury was kind of the guy, and then Murray came in and kind of pushed him out. Like, they won cups where it wasn't one guy until one guy kind of took over. Chicago had Darling, and then it was Crawford that took over. You know, it was Grubauer who started for Washington in the playoffs, and then Holtby took over. So you can work it. Regular season, you're right, there's alpha dogs. The only thing, though, is there's only about 7 of them to 10, let's say, you know, being generous, of these 60-game starters. Like,
and Freddie was that his first 3 years in Toronto.
Right.
Like, and he was. And he was playing 60, 63 starts a year.
And he might be a 54-game starter next year in Carolina with Antti Raanta picking up the rest of it. Like, you know, it your career changes. But you're right. There's Vasilevsky. There's Hellebuck. Price, if he's healthy. You know, who else am I missing? The guys that play through the roof.
Yeah. You know? I would think Fleury will probably do that in Chicago. I don't know.
Well, you know, they don't have a lot of options there.
They're probably hoping Leonard does that in Vegas, but we'll see.
Right. But there's
not. Will Kemper do that in Colorado? I don't know.
I think he can, but health is a lot of things. So I look at these two goaltenders in a tandem situation. During the regular season, I'm fine with it. It's just, what happens is in the playoffs, you know, you end up wishy-washy. One guy has an off night. Well, you go to the other guy. Now, all of a sudden, it's that old saying, when you have two starting quarterbacks, you really have zero, because you're always second-guessing it. That's the only time you've ever seen these tandems really get into trouble, is when the chips are down. You're like, who do you go to? And if they struggle, then you're always thinking about the other guy, right?
No, absolutely. And that's going to be a consistent theme all year. Like, the goaltending tandem is going to be a huge part of the chatter, because it just hasn't been here for the better part of 5 years, you know, or at least the first 4 years when Freddie was here. It was last year Campbell, because the way he came on and what happened with Freddie, it became a chat. But this year will be very different. Quickly, before we get to the pick for tonight, Artemi Panarin was asked about being the captain in New York, and he said, quote, "In fact, there are far more worthy candidates for the position. Would I want to? Rather not, to be honest." I love this answer, though.
I do too.
The self-awareness. He's like, I don't think I'd be comfortable with it. You know, I don't speak the language as well. I'm not a rah-rah guy. I just want to play. Like, I love it. I'd rather a guy say that than be like, yeah, I'll take it on and then crumble.
It's the same as if me and Noodles were asked if we wanted to host the show. We know who the true captain is.
Yeah, that's the true coach. You're right. Like, there are, and I'm not here to kick stones at anybody or anything like that, but you could argue throughout the NHL right now, there are guys who are either the best player on their team, so they're the captain, but they might not be the actual leader in the room. There might be a veteran guy who is the voice or something like that, like just because of personality or because of the way that they are. Like John Tavares I think he's a good captain, but he's not I don't think by nature he's a rah-rah guy or anything. I think he leads by example.
He'll go answer questions every day of the week anywhere.
He's like, a stand-up
John will
person.
Come out and say, exactly, his personality is made for probably in this market. And I think that's what Panarin's saying here. He's like, I don't think I'm made for it here.
Smart.
Yeah, and he started off with his language. He's like, I barely speak English.
Exactly. Yeah. And in New York, you got to talk, right? You have a bad night or something goes awry, that's like the captain's expected to come out. And Tavares is a perfect example of that. Tavares will come out at any point and talk. He may not give you exactly the answer you want, and that's probably the plan. But John will always give you an answer. He'll always talk. He's always available.
Who was the guy? Who was the Russian player that talked to Jonas about Randy Carlyle?
Oh,
Grabowski. Yeah,
Ray called him an idiot.
Yeah, that freaking idiot.
Freaking idiot.
I don't feel any support for this.
No support. That's a captain, Grabowski, right there.
Yeah,
that's a guy who knows what's up.
Yeah.
All right, so Rich Beam will join us in about 10 minutes. Let's bring in Al's brother. He's had a busy day. He was voting earlier today. He's on fire, man. He's picking winners. Al's brother, full credit to you. You did not pick the winner last night. That's okay. That happens from time to time. I thought the Chiefs were the right pick. I would have been on the Chiefs. What are you going to do? Backdoor cover by the Ravens. But outside of that, you've been picking winners. I have not been seeing the board well. I've gone 0-2 so far this week. You must be feeling very good about yourself.
I do, and it's going to be interesting to see where you go with this one, because what do you do here? You love your road dogs.
Yes, I do.
But you also love your Packers. So what are you going to do here?
Well, the Monday Night NFL Pick is back and brought to you by BookSeats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. I learned something yesterday, Al's brother, that I think I always had the answer to. But every once in a while,
you just make your pick?
Need this to become more and more clear. If you really valued a team a week ago, thought they were an elite team, and they had a down game, played poorly, bank on them still being the elite team. The Buffalo Bills represented that yesterday. Last week, they threw away a game. You picked the Bills. It was a great pick. It was the lock of the century. When Tua went down, it probably should have come off the board, but that's neither here nor there. That's not the way this is working, and this is not the way gambling is played out.
Win big, by the way.
Throw Baltimore in that equation, too. Baltimore went down to Vegas, lost,
exactly.
Went and beat Kansas City.
Exactly. Yeah. If you believe in the program and you believe they're an elite team, count on a response. The Bills dominated yesterday. I am going to rely on that same theory when it comes to the Packers. Also, shout out to Mark Dominic, who was on First Up this morning. And Dominic is like, I'm not a gambler, I'm just a football guy. He thinks the Packers are going to roll tonight. Partially my heart, admittedly. But I am going to bank on Aaron Rodgers having a response, being embarrassed last week, being at home, Pack Barn, Lambeau, nostalgia, feeling it again, committed to the program. Dan Campbell, kneecaps, not optional tonight. Give me the 11.5. Give me the Green Bay Packers.
I love it.
I'm on
brother.
GB tonight.
Let's go eat some kneecaps.
We're going with 11.5. Is that the number we're rolling with?
I don't know if you have a offshore booking where you see a different lineup, brother, but everyone on earth is playing 11.5
right now. Sure, we can go 11.5. I just saw somebody, a fan of the show, tweeted at us that the line moved up to 12. So we can go 11.5 if you'd like.
You? I didn't see that.
I did.
Yes, it's 11.5.
I believe you were tagged on that tweet, too, but we can go 11.5. That's fine.
Okay.
I still feel deep. I mean, that's a big line.
It's a massive line.
It's a really massive big line. And, I mean, the dogs, they've been barking literally the entire season. They're 21-10, I believe, the underdogs coming into this game so far against the spread this season. I mean, I think that it's going to be a close one in terms of that spread. Like, clearly the Green Bay Packers are going to win this game. But can they keep it to within 10? Like, Dan Campbell, you saw what they did the week before.
They did.
Where they were getting blown out. And they were very resilient. Went right down to the final whistle, and they kept it going and kept playing. Mm-hmm. Our boy Jerry Goff, he's going to pull through, and he's going to get the
guy. There's a guy that you don't know what he's going to do. Jerry Goff could steal the show in Green Bay. You never know.
No, he's a good enough He's capable of covering. He's a good enough quarterback where he can put some numbers on the board.
Jameis Winston put up 38 on the Packers last week.
And then look what happened this week. Oh, COVID's been an issue for them. But how do they
go into Carolina against slam dunks, the biggest slam dunk bets was the over-under was 0.5 on him throwing an INT against Carolina. And I was like, he had none week one. Do you really do it? Sure enough, he had two. You know he was going to do it.
Yeah. Well, we had the Jerry's percentage or whatever. I don't remember what we played last week, but asking, will he throw more than 15 picks? And we're all like, nah, he's figured it out. Yeah. The LASIK wears off the longer the season goes on.
Dropped a deuce in Carolina.
Yeah. So there it is. I'm on the Packers tonight. It's a massive spread. I want to believe they're going to come back, perform.
Rodgers is going to have a night. Like, I feel like this is one where
he needs to.
Where he makes a statement and goes, hey, I know all this nonsense in the off season, and I know I didn't have a great week one. I'm back here. I'll show you. I'm sure you I'm still and committed. That's the thing. It's a statement of like him being committed to the program in this season.
Yep. Last week looked like a little bit of a turkey dump, and then maybe this week he's having second thoughts.
Yeah.
That could be what's happening.
Turkey dumps are around the corner. We got to have a segment for that.
Yeah, the turkey dump's a couple weeks away. Why don't we meet at Starbucks, actually, on Friday night? You know, don't come over here. We'll meet somewhere in public. Turkey dump. See you later.
Here's your walking papers, and I'm going to go to college and do my thing without you.
AKA, I have been doing my thing for five weeks at college, and now it's turkey dump. And that's a two-way street. That is a two-way street. The turkey dump happens. It's just who gets to the finish line first.
Yeah. And so you know you're getting it if you get a real generic meeting place. Forget about Starbucks. Like the park and ride off the highway, like near your hometown. Like on the way back from university, there's a little area to park to get on the highway. I just want to drop something off for you there. I got something for you from university.
Yeah. Show up, and we can just stay in our car. I could throw it into your window.
Just
a turkey. You literally dump a turkey through someone's
light it on
window.
Fire and drive away.
Yeah, that's it. We're done. See you later. Yeah, the turkey dump segment's right around the corner. The Michael Myers segment only about five or 6 weeks away.
True Halloween.
What's coming up
that
too?
One is going to be.
Who gets the call and hears the music from our guy, Michael Myers?
Yep. Well, Dan Campbell might be hearing the Halloween music tonight if he can't get his teeth on some kneecaps. Because
Give us some early Halloween music, Malls.
Think about it. But there's going to be
Jerry Goff getting off the bus has got this on his earbuds.
I'd be more worried about Rodgers hearing this tonight than anyone else on the football field. Because if he lays a turkey tonight, there's going to be conversations being had all over the place tomorrow.
There will be. So no one more in the spotlight than Aaron Rodgers tonight. He will hear this walking back into the locker room if they lose tonight.
Oh.
Dude, by the way, the day before Halloween, we're doing like three hours of who's hearing this song in their head sports-wise.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the best show of the year.
It'll be some coaches in the NHL, some players who opted a slow start,
clogging the in-laws' toilet, all of it. All of it.
If you're in Pittsburgh and a fan and you're trying to get through a bit of a disaster with the khaki pants, what do you think he was hearing yesterday?
He
didn't care, though.
No, I guess
not. He didn't care at all.
He wasn't leaving. You would think you'd have the decorum to say, I just have to leave the stadium. This isn't fair to anybody.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. Why didn't one of his buddies go to the team store and buy him a pair of shorts?
I guess shorts would be available, but they don't sell pants at a stadium.
Dude, you just get a pair of shorts and it's over with.
I'm sure they got like Steelers branded PJs or something.
Yeah, you probably could get that. That's true.
He could have made it happen. Give somebody $100, say, dude, can you help me out? Go to the team store and get some shorts.
Yeah, wow. That's 100% valid.
He seemed like a guy that, like, he'd just leave the pants there and walk out there by himself. With his
pants go directly in the garbage and never heard from again. Like it's a very simple plan. You got to sit there.
Right.
The uncomfortable part is you got to sit there and wait for your shorts to come and your gear down. Like,
I don't think he's too worried about being uncomfortable.
Looked like he was well oiled, anyways.
Yeah.
But he was the best part about that picture is he was pretty focused on cleaning it out. Like, it wasn't like, I think he thought to himself, like, I can do this.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe
I'll be back
rented
in 5
out those
minutes.
Pants. Who knows?
Yeah, like, he was very, very adamant that he could clean that turd out of his pants.
Yeah, well. Thank you for that description. On the Packers tonight, yours truly, the Monday Night NFL Pick brought to you by BookSeats.com. Custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. Best of luck to you, Team Outdog, tonight. Rich Beam will join us. Pro golfer, Sky Sports golf commentator. It is officially Ryder Cup week. We'll get to that next. Jays in action tonight, Monday Nighter. It's going to be a fun week, man. Ryder Cup week, Whistling Straits in Wisconsin. The Golf Report brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Pick your favorite Subaru at the Adventure Picking event. And to look ahead to what is always a fun event, haven't had one in a few years, is a longtime pro golfer, Sky Sports golf commentator. Here is Rich Beam making his debut on Overdrive. What's happening, Rich?
Not much. How y'all doing?
Oh, we're excited for the Ryder Cup, man. As a pro golfer yourself and as an American, I mean, what does this week mean for you?
Well, how are you guys excited as Canadians for the Ryder Cup? I mean, you're more President's Cup folks, you know?
Right.
Mike
Weir
is going to come up there in a few years and dominate, right?
Well, we're not exactly jacked up for it, since the only buildup from these Americans is them saying they can't stand it, and one of their players is trying to hit golf balls through a monitor because he's got the long drive competition the day after the Ryder Cup. You talk about, like, not a good tease for the American players, Rich. They haven't exactly, and you've done TV for a long time now. Like, that's not exactly a good tease for the American players.
But... you know, hey, listen, it's different. It's different than what's gone on in years past, because what has gone on in years past hasn't necessarily worked if you look at our results over the last 10 or so Ryder Cups. So maybe we're just changing it up a bit, right? Maybe it's we're confusing the Europeans into thinking that we really don't care. And on the first tee, Bryson's going to pull out a 7-iron. And just bunt it down the middle. You never know. You never know.
you never know. I think that's an interesting strategy because, like, what is Stricker, the coach, supposed to do about this? I mean, it's all, you're grown men. Koepka doesn't want to be there. Bryson's more interested in the next week. How can Stricker bring this crew together? And what would you expect his game plan to be specifically with those two players?
Yeah, you know, funny enough, I just got done watching the press conference that Steve and Padraig had. And, you know, I loved what Steve had to say about Brooks saying that he really doesn't want to be there or this and that. You know, he says, I've been in the team room for many of these competitions, whether it be the President's Cup or the Ryder Cup, with Brooks. And what he said in that magazine article really doesn't jive with how he is in the team room. And so if Stricker's not reading much into it, then I don't think that we should either. I think that, you know, Brooks basically is going to say what's on his mind. And he's a very open and honest guy. So, but I look at what he said as, you know, what somebody might say if they're asked by a reporter. Now, if Steve Stricker posed that same question to him, he might give him a different answer, because I think when it comes deep down into it, I think that Brooks really likes the Ryder Cup. I think he's pretty fired up for it, but it is different than a major. And I have nothing wrong with what he said, because it's a totally different dynamic. And I think he was just giving a very honest answer about, hey, you know, I wouldn't prepare for a major like this. This is just a completely different scene. And so If Steve Stricker says that, you know, that Brooks has got a different dynamic in the team room, he would know best because he's been there and seen that. So I think that Brooks is excited about it. It just he's got a different way of expressing his excitement about things, which he usually never expresses any excitement about anything, it seems like.
Rich, there's been a lot of talk about Koepka, his comments, Bryson, their feud, and them being teammates, and there hasn't been any talk about two guys who I think could ultimately be the leaders for Team USA and go out and play all the team matches, and that's Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas. Do you not think that those two guys can go out there, possibly be paired together, and really be the leadership group or be the kind of two of the guys that are catalysts for USA to get things going and win a bunch of points?
Absolutely. I think that those two are definitely can be the leaders, and I think they will be. I think, you know, Dustin Johnson, even though he doesn't say very much, you know, it's kind of quiet in his words, but I think also that DJ is also a leader for our team because he's played in a number of these Ryder Cups now, and so he knows what to expect on both sides of the pond. I think that he's pretty fired up about being there, but definitely Justin Thomas. I think if you look at the maturity that he's got and how he says things, and same thing with Jordan. It's just, you know, they seem to choose their words very carefully, but they also have a lot of passion, a lot of fire in their bellies. And I think those two players going forward, I think they're going to be stalwarts on the Ryder Cup side for a long time. I know Jordan really was kind of on the outside looking in, so thankfully he had this year to play well and make his way onto the team, because last year at this point in time he wasn't going to make the team. So I think that was a big year for him, and I think he's excited. And I think those two are going to be paired pretty much every single match.
We're chatting with longtime pro golfer and golf commentator Rich Beam. It is Ryder Cup week, and Jon Rahm will feature prominently for the Europeans, number one player in the world. And I'd be curious to get your take on the discussion, the debate that I think a lot of people had that love golf, that follow golf, after Patrick Cantlay won PGA Tour Player of the Year. Do you think that was deserved, or if you were voting, would you have given it to Jon Rahm?
You know, that's a good question. I think that both players, you could have looked either way and made a really good argument for either player on why they should win. I think ultimately, though, it did go to the player of the year. You know, I think that if you look at Patrick Cantlay and his four wins, I still think that, you know, he didn't win a major, but he won some pretty hefty other tournaments, won the FedEx Cup, and played his way into that lead spot going into the final week. So I think that, you know, Jon Rahm certainly had his chances, and not being able to compete in the final round of Memorial, that hurt him. That hurt him drastically. I think if he would have been able to compete then, and if he wouldn't have tested positive for COVID, then I think that you'd be looking at a different result. But ultimately, you got to go by what did happen, and it's John's going to win Player of the Year going forward. I mean, I think he's going to win it numerous times. I think the guy's just way too talented not to. So I think that he is discouraged, as he should be, but he'll have plenty of times going, plenty of other opportunities, and he will win it multiple times throughout his career. But yeah, I mean, I would have voted for Patrick, to be fair. I just think that, you know, winning four times is quite an accomplishment. That's it's pretty amazing stuff considering how strong the PGA Tour is these days.
Rich, we were talking about that golf course they opened up the season on last week or this prior weekend, and I'm not going to say it was a goat track, but it looked kind of dicey on the tees, on the fairways. And I talked to another tour player that said it's a hell of a golf course, but wouldn't they kind of jazz something up to get kind of some bigger name players? And I know the Ryder Cup's this week, but just jazz it up to some kind of special golf course and make it a little bit kind of on steroids to get more players to play in the opening event?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at what's been going on in Northern California with all the, if you can hear the growling in the background, that's my one-year-old puppy chasing a ball. But, you know, the season comes around so quickly that guys that are, they need some time to decompress before they start up the next year. And, you know, I don't know what you can do about the golf course, just because the simple fact it's written in a contract. They're going to play it, I think it's Silverado Country Club. And, yeah, it's a heck of a golf course, but with all the drought conditions and whatnot you had up in Northern California, I think that, you know, not being able to water the golf course like they would have liked to have, it's going to pose, you know, a different type of track, you know. And it's too bad because it is a pretty strong golf course when they're able to grow the rough up. But, you know, the lack of rough and the dry conditions and all that, you're gonna get some pretty low scores, and you're gonna get some stuff that doesn't look great on TV, but, you know, I promise you it's probably playing fantastic, just because when you do have dry, firm conditions, usually that's when the golf course is great. It just doesn't look lush on TV. I mean, think of back in 2008 or 7 when Tiger won over in Liverpool. I mean, the golf course was just completely browned out because they didn't have any rain. But I tell you what, it played fantastic, and it was hard. But, you know, it's hard to kind of do anything about that just because of the drought conditions they got up there in Northern California.
Yep, I think that's well put, and I think that's probably what we were witnessing yesterday and throughout the weekend. But will not be the case in Wisconsin. Whistling Straits, Ryder Cup, cannot wait for it. It's going to be a great week. Enjoy it there, Rich.
Yeah.
We'll do it again down the road.
Do.
Thank you for this.
You got it. It's going to look awesome on TV. I can't wait to get there tomorrow.
Good luck with it, buddy. There he is, Rich Beam, longtime PGA Tour player, now on the Champions Tour, golf commentator. He'll be up there at Whistling Straits. It's going to be fun, man. The crowd will be going nuts. Midwest, nothing wrong with that. It's going to be a fun weekend. Jays in action tonight. Robbie Ray on the mound, going up against a rookie, going up against a guy making his debut down at the Trop, coming off
Garrett
Cole.
Get it done, man.
Robbie Ray, yeah. If you can – like, you got 13 games left here if you're the Jays. You're a game and a half up on the Yankees, two up on Oakland. It's tough to do the math because, you know, you've got three against the Yankees. If you take two of three against the Yankees – and then go 500 the rest of the way, that probably gets you in.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't be thinking that way if you're the Jays. But
no.
Take care of your own.
Take everything care of your business.
Everything else will fall into place.
Yeah.
Like, they've played well enough to be a playoff team. Like, that's
absolutely
the thing. Like, that's – when you look at it, this isn't, like, backdooring your way in or anything. Like, they've been a hell of a team here for a long stretch. Like, that's – you know, they're earning what they get.
That's right.
That's the way I look at it when I watch them play. Like, they're not a – it's not a fluke and just a little hot streak by this player that's dragging them into it. Like, everyone's playing well. Yeah, Ryu is the only guy who's in the Uber after the third right now. But other than that, everyone else seems to be playing to their potential or above it.
It's not a fluke. Like,
right.
This is absolute. Now, they're on a heater. You know, they're hitting everything in sight, and they're winning a lot of ball games. But they are appropriately built. They have a really quality rotation. Their bullpen has all of a sudden come together. Defensively, they're playing a lot better defensively than they were earlier in the season.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at 6-7 guys every night that are stepping up to the plate. Their numbers are off the charts.
Yeah.
You know, so
we got to get the baseball blogger on that charges $50 to $100 for his comments and going on podcasts. And one of his takes, have you heard about this guy?
I saw something about that, yeah, on Twitter yesterday.
Wow, this guy had to – one of his takes was the Blue Jays are the biggest phonies in Major League Baseball. And then this guy goes on Twitter and he starts complaining that people – because I guess this podcast called him and said, you want to come on for 25 minutes? And he said, I charge between $50 and $100 for my services. And the response he got from the podcast was, F off. So this guy goes on a tirade about, I think it's disrespectful that nobody's paying me. I do an hour of research, and now everybody's digging through this guy's hot takes and every single bad hot. He's just in a bad spot. I kind of feel
tough
for the guy. Yeah.
Yeah. That's tough. I saw that kind of not trending yesterday, but someone had been tweeting.
It was percolating.
It was out there. It was
yes.
in the Twitter sphere. It was out there. And I've never heard of the guy. I don't, you know, and I've never
Dude,
heard
me
of
neither.
Him. You know, like a podcast. Everyone's got a podcast. Like if some
right.
some guy asks you to come on, why would you, like, go ahead. Listen, it's a free world. It's a free country. You want to ask for money, you can. And if you say no, then no. If you don't have time for it, nothing wrong with that. But
right.
if it's some, you know, like high school student's podcast, what are you thinking asking for $100?
Dude, it was so funny.
There's no so, way you're getting that.
I asked for my fee of $100, and the response I got back was, F off.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm like, that's what you're going to get, bud.
That's an appropriate response. That's good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, podcast, there's no corporate level. There's no, you know, I guess, politically correct way of having to approach it.
Like, no, there's no regulations.
There's no regulations.
Like, go ahead.
Yeah, you want to come on? No, F you. See you later. Yeah. Nice.
Exactly. No, there's not a watchdog going, oh, you've talked to that guy poorly.
Right.
Who cares? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that guy, I got to go look at that. I hadn't seen that people have been digging up old tweets and old takes. And
I love it.
But I saw that he puts in an hour of prep before a 20-minute podcast. There's no way that's true. Like, there's just no way that's true.
Well, depending on what his prep is, going down a rabbit hole.
Right. What is your prep? How do you know exactly what they're going to ask you anyway? You know, if you're a guest on the show, how do you prep for an hour to be a guest?
Dude, I've been doing this show for 3 hours every day, and I have never put 30 seconds of prep into it.
That's not true.
Stop it.
We talk every day, all day, about different things. Tomorrow, I'm going to be right in your ear. Maybe we'll share a cart. Should we share a cart tomorrow, or do you want to go solos and just kind of do your own thing?
Well, he'll be
we could share a cart, but you know the routine, right?
Yeah. Well, speed things up. If you want to go look for your ball in the bush or whatever, he's going to drive away.
No, he's got a King Daddy topper move, this guy. We have the exact same golf ball. So if he knows that it's mine's 100 yards ahead of his, he'll pick it up and say, just wanted to make sure, and he'll plop it up like prom night lie.
That's not true at all.
Dude, you've done that numerous times. You just give me the quick little look, and you're like, just making sure, and then you go about your business.
Sometimes you got to clarify. I want it
on film, though, if he ends up like Trump ahead, 100 yards ahead because he's impatient.
I've got one in the chamber of this guy. Don't worry. He's literally in a sack of weeds at Copper Creek. And he's punching out like club pro guy. It is outrageous, this one.
That was an elite punch out. That hole, that was 10 at Copper Creek. I think I carded a triple. It was a mess.
Yeah.
It was not good. And I was punching out for my life. Multiple punch outs. That's never a good sign. Par 4, multiple punch outs. Jays in action. We'll tee it up. Monday Nighter, we'll tee it up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and TSN 2. Well, we got a long night ahead of us, coast to coast, election day, election night. We'll see what happens, federal election, and the Jays are in action. Robbie Ray with a chance to really put a stamp on that Cy Young pursuit. And the Packers at home against the Lions, coming off one of the more embarrassing losses of the last 20 years in Green Bay. And they're at home against Detroit tonight. Dan Campbell looking for that elusive first kneecap, first win. So we'll see what he and the Lions have in store tonight. Look at you guys all suited up. Is that hockey back? Is today the first day?
Yeah. That's hockey with Gino Retta coming up 7 o'clock.
Very excited. Shout out to Gino.
Gino's been on tour, man. The only thing he does is post about golf picks and golf courses and just dialing in that short game, man. I love it.
Well, you got to figure from now until July 2nd, he's locked into that building.
Working a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, working a lot. Well, that reminds me, I got to get my top 50 list in by Thursday, I believe, is the deadline for us.
The Quizmaster is all over that.
Mm-hmm. Dude, you got to do that as soon as you get the email. You do it 10 minutes and then send it. It's done.
I'm having a tough time, though, man. I was looking at it over the weekend. I'm looking at guys that show up on my list. I'm like, I got to have him in. And the one guy I almost missed, because I was doing it off the top of my head, like going through the whole league team by team, and I jot down all these players. I almost missed Kaprizov. And I'm like, he's got to be in the top 50.
He made mine.
Yeah.
He's top 25 player, man.
He was unreal last year. Unreal. Yeah. Although he may not be in camp. He may not be playing. Brady Tkachuk. May not be in camp, may not be playing. Who knows?
They got to sort these contracts out.
Big time. You know? Patterson, Hughes, et cetera. So we'll see. All right. Well, we'll catch you guys, I guess, on TSN. You'll just keep doing what you're doing. All suited up. Say hi to Gino for me. And the football game is on TSN Radio tonight. And, of course, you can see it on TSN. Go Pack. I am on the Packers -11.5, and the Jays are in action tonight as well. So a lot to track. We look forward to it. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at?
See you on the T, 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.